once they publish this book or manuscript, now you're not just, it's not just me looking at your final product. It is millions of people who are going to critique it, whose feedback may sound unfair.
Welcome back to another episode of Success in Mind. This week, I'm speaking with Venshel Sandik. She is a writing coach whose journey started in Haiti, where she developed a love for reading and storytelling at a young age. She realized her knack for writing during college when friends asked her for editing and feedback on their work. This led her to pursue a career as a writing coach, combining her passion for storytelling with her talent for helping others improve their writing. With a background in history and a love for reading, Venshel brings a unique perspective to her work, helping others to find their voice and to tell their own stories. You're listening to Success in Mind, the show for high-performing leaders, changemakers, and entrepreneurs ready to take your life and business to the next level. If you're ready for whole life success, keep listening. Hey there, podcast enthusiasts. Before we dive into today's episode, I have something special just for you. Have you ever dreamed of launching your own podcast, but you just don't know where to start? Well, I have great news. I have created the Podcast Launch Strategy Checklist just for you. It is a free guide to take you from concept to launch and promoting your podcast. So why wait? Don't let the uncertainty hold you back any longer. Grab your free Podcast Launch Strategy Checklist today. The link is in the show notes, or just go to terryholland.ca/podlaunchchecklist. It's time to turn your passion into a powerful podcast that the world can't wait to hear. I'm always curious about how people get into doing what they're doing. So what I want to start with today is, what led you to becoming a writing coach?
So what led me to become a writing coach literally started when I lived in Haiti, because I was born in the States, but I grew up in another country. And at the time, I didn't really know that I had a knack for writing, but I knew that I loved to read because that's how, again, that's how I started my journey. And then also when I look back in retrospect in terms of how I was taught in the school that I attended, that they start you off with history and they start you off with understanding where you come from. And that in of itself is a testament to storytelling. And I think I fell in love with storytelling at a very young age. And I said to myself, how cool is that? And maybe this is something that I could explore later on in life. And I think around my college days, I had many of my peers ask me to look at their writings, to provide editing suggestions, and then also just giving them content feedback. And I think that's when I realized that maybe I could become a writing coach. I didn't know if there were writing coaches out there, but I knew that at some point I would fall into a business that involves doing, again, providing writing services for sure.
Amazing. And was that process fairly linear for you, or did it take some turns along the way?
It took some turns. Like I said, it was up until my college days. And then again, I think that what people never talk about, given that writing is not a linear process, or even falling into your passion is definitely not a linear process. I think there was a lot of soul searching that took place, because I think writing, whether people are prepared for it or not, wants you to dig a little bit deeper. And sometimes it may unearth certain parts of yourself that were hidden for a long period of time, and writing allows you to unearth it. It doesn't make it easy though. And I think that I always tell my clients that no matter how skilled of a writer you may be, just always keep an open mind for the things that you may not think are going to impact your writing or impact your characters if you're writing a novel. And no, it has not been a linear process. I think if nothing else, what I've done over the years is just be patient with myself and keep an open mind to discover, to rediscover myself as an individual.
I love that, rediscovering yourself. I think that's how a lot of entrepreneurs end up in the businesses they're in, is maybe it's not what they think they're going to be doing with their lives, or not necessarily what they envisioned. And then they're led into it and they find themselves exactly where they need to be.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. And it is, like, I found that in my journey, like, it was a discovering of myself that led me to do what I do. So I really appreciate you sharing that with us.
Absolutely.
How do you deal with things like writer's block or procrastination when it comes to writing, or with the people that you coach?
I always tell the people that I coach to discard this whole idea of they're going to have a 1 hour block every day. Most of the people I work with have children, they have spouses. And even if they are students, like, their timetable is unpredictable. And so I think what I usually tell myself and tell others is just to jot down any thoughts that you have, even if you have just 10 minutes. Because what it does is that over time, if you do it consistently, you'll have something there. You'll have writing material that you can process later on. But to put that expectation, and don't get me wrong, I'm not immune to it. I used to be like that, right? I used to say to myself, Vanchelle, if you have, you need to have an hour to do this writing. And if you don't have an hour, then you start beating yourself up. And that's not good for your mental health. That's not good for bringing new ideas. And I'm a huge fan of just, again, doing meditation practice or doing anything that's going to align you to your inner self to do this writing work. And so I would just say to people, be realistic with your timetable, be realistic with your priorities, and ask yourself, if you don't have that hour, do you have 5 minutes? Do you have 10 minutes? And if you do, then take that time and just, like, jot down ideas. It doesn't have to be like a full, just full sentences, like a chapter. Again, I think what I've learned over time and going back to rediscovering ourselves is really just asking yourself some of the tough questions. Why? How are you defining that hour? Why are you defining your success as a writer by saying, okay, I need to have an hour to write? Who are you trying to impress? You have to ask yourself these tough questions and decide for yourself what's going to be good for you. Because I can tell you, when people put a lot of undue pressure on themselves, I can see it in the writing. The writing doesn't flow as well. And then they're missing. It's almost as if, like, you're writing a paragraph, but within the paragraph, the ideas are not complete. Mm. And sometimes that's a key. That's, for me, it's like a thing, like something is happening here and I need to address it. It really helped my client get back to this flow state and reconnect with themselves.
Oh, I love that. What's your process like in terms of getting into that flow state to create?
I think for me, even as I'm looking at your background, you have a lot of plants and you have books, right? Yep. Like, you really, I guess my perception is that maybe you are into nature, and I am too. And so I have plants. You can't see them, but I have plants as well in my room. And I try to create a space that brings me peace. It may, for some people, it may be having plants around them. For some others, it may just be using floor scent. And again, like, it's going to look different for everyone, but I think that it's really creating the space, creating the mood, and being intentional about it. And I think by doing that, it allows the ideas to flow naturally, and it allows you to tap into your creativity. That's how I do it. And I know in the background, people can see some of my vision boards too. And that's something that that brings me peace. And then also, I think another, it's like a print, an art print, but it says, know your worth.
Mm-hmm.
And I think that's part of this writing journey, taking inventory of everything you've done, taking inventory of where you are and deciding, you know what, I'm going to tap into my vulnerability. I'm going to tap into the awesome person I am and be brave and be courageous to put words on paper. So, yes.
Yeah. And it really is an act of courage to do that.
Yes.
Do you have any tips or suggestions for people when it comes to allowing themselves to be vulnerable in that way? Because I know what I hear from my clients a lot when it comes to showing up on social media or podcasting is they're so afraid of that. And they say, Terry, that's scary.
Mm-hmm.
So what do you say to that when your clients are afraid to show up that way?
I ask them one simple question. I say to them, if someone else robbed you of that opportunity, would you be upset about it?
Oof. Oh, yeah.
Would you be upset about it? And if you're upset, if you're going to be upset about it, if you're going to feel a certain way about it, then that lets me know that you have to muster the courage to put yourself out there.
Mm-hmm.
Because there is only one original copy of you.
Yeah.
And if you're not showing up, we're missing out big time. And as I'm saying this to you, like I also was in, again, everything I'm sharing with you is because I've gone through it myself.
Mm-hmm.
So I'm speaking from experience. But even for me, it was very hard to picture myself being featured on podcasts or being featured on summits. Because that was not something, it was not, those were not opportunities that were presented to me way back when. And to be honest with you, because I'm someone who's overly analytical, sometimes you can get trapped in the mind.
And
become stuck, and which can lead to procrastination, which can lead to writer's block. But I had to bet on myself. And I had to say, if I don't show up, if I don't bring myself to the table, who is going to miss out from my story?
And
that's how I started. And that's how I said that, you know what? If it works out, great. If it doesn't work out, at least I tried.
Yeah.
So, yeah.
Oh, when you asked that question of if someone robbed you from this opportunity, would you be upset about it? I got goosebumps. I was like, oh, that is that. Yeah, that is a good one. Absolutely.
It's I get mixed reactions. Some people will be totally down with that question. And some, mm-hmm. and for some, it may just be they need a little bit more time. And there's no judgment zone. I think if nothing else, what I do for myself and my clients when we're interacting is create a space of non-judgment, because I don't know what I don't know. This person is coming to me. They're trusting me to help them get to a final product. And at the same time, I know very well, as someone who's currently getting a doctorate degree, life happens. Life never stops happening. And so it's really creating that space and letting people know that, hey, you're seen, you're heard, and it's okay. If you need a break, if you need to take more time before you're ready to take that step, I'm right there with you. I'm not going to give up on you. I'm not judging you. And it's really helping people understand that society may be judging them, but right now in that space, in that small room that I am with you, like there is no judgment. Yeah. I'm here for you. I'm your biggest supporter. So,
oh, it's beautiful. What would you say are some of the common misconceptions when it comes to writing?
I would say for me as a writing coach, people always think that it's so easy to write. It's something that can be done very quickly, that editing doesn't take hours and hours to do. And that's a common misconception. And then I have to, and also it puts me in a very uncomfortable situation too, because now you have to explain to the person, no, this is what you're paying for. This is what's going to happen when I start doing this editing work for you. And I think it's sad just because sometimes I ask myself, have we moved away from really honing in on the process of writing. So there was a point in time when AI was not there that people would spend money. They would spend thousands of dollars to go to conferences just to put two sentences together. And now those conferences still exist. But when you look at the sheer volume for the demand, it's not as big as it was before, because now you have AI, you have convenience in your front step. And then you have to pay for it, like, I think $20 or something like that.
Yeah.
But it's convenient. It's something that can be done just like that. And so that's one misconception. The other misconception is that if we're going to look at it from the lens of AI, and don't get me wrong, AI does have its benefits, right? It definitely reduces time on certain tasks. But if we're going to look at it from that lens, people will think that they don't need to be involved in the process of writing. So let's take ghostwriting. I've had several offers to do ghostwriting, to provide ghostwriting services. And each time I had to ask myself and ask the person I was talking to is, what is going to be your involvement in this? How are you going to engage with this? Because I can write, I'm an excellent writer. I can write. But then at the same time, if it's for a ghostwriting service, I want to know just how involved you will be in the writing process. I still need to hear from that person. Yeah. And sometimes people just don't want to do that. They just want to give you the work and you do it for them. But then you run into those legality issues because it opens a door for the person to blame you for anything, when in fact, it was very clear that if you're going to do any type of ghostwriting service, the person needs to tell you their story. They still need to participate in that writing process.
Interesting. And since you brought up AI, I want to talk about that a little bit more. How are you seeing AI as impacting writing right now? And what are some of the traps people are falling into, or what are some of the ways that you see AI as being really beneficial for writers?
I think AI is beneficial for writers when it comes to the research aspect of it. For example, let's take something as simple as a business plan, because I've had to edit business plans. AI is good in terms of doing the market trend analysis
for you.
Again, it depends on the prompts that you use, but it does a phenomenal job doing that work for you. So all you would really have to do is just do a gap analysis, because maybe there's something that you wanted to add to your business plan that AI was not able to pick up on it. And you may need to add it to your business plan. So in terms of the research aspect, yes, AI is definitely helpful, and it cuts down on productivity, definitely. Or increases productivity, that's what I would say. And I'm trying to think how else AI is, like, in terms of the benefit. Because even as I was talking to you earlier, it's so easy for the mind to focus on the negative, especially when people like me, like, we make a living out of writing. And then now your competition is not another person. Your competition is AI.
Yeah.
And so one of the other benefits is also it does a great job. For example, if you wanted to write an essay, it does a great job writing the essay for you. I just caution people to still make sure that it's not plagiarizing other papers online. So that would be one of the disadvantages. So even if it increases your productivity, you still need to look at its output with a fine tooth comb, so that you're not getting in trouble.
Yeah. I find where it helps me in the creative process is generating some ideas. If I'm staring at a blank page and I'm if I'm trying to write a blog for my business or come up with some content for social media, I can type in what are some ideas or something. I'll give it a good prompt, better prompt than what are ideas, but I'll prompt it. And then it gives me a whole list of things. And then that sparks my creative process. I can go, oh, I can talk on that, or I can, that's a great podcast to do this week or something.
Yes.
Whereas before I'm just staring at the screen going, I don't know what to talk about today. Mm-hmm. So I find that that's really useful.
That is very useful. In addition to what you said too, now that I think about it, it's really good with, you can also ask AI to create Instagram posts for you or Facebook posts for you or LinkedIn posts for you. So that's another avenue that people can use for marketing purposes too.
Yeah, and it cuts down on a lot of that time, like you said, like it increases productivity that way. I do find I notice when someone writes something that's entirely AI generated, it does not feel the same. It's missing that human element to it. And there's a different energy. And it reminds me of what you were saying earlier about how if somebody's writing, forcing the process of writing and they're putting in their hour, that it reads differently and it's missing something. And I find that with AI that I can really identify it now and go, oh, that's AI. There's no human connection for me in it.
Absolutely. Yes. No, I feel the same way. And I think, again, it's a hit or miss. It depends on the client that you're working with. But for me, if something doesn't feel authentic, I think that it is my responsibility to say something because I want to be a good steward of people's money and people's time. Mm-hmm. And I want to make sure that I make them look good because ultimately I am sitting like in the passenger seat and I'm their biggest cheerleader. And let's face it, like once they publish this book or manuscript, now you're not just, it's not just me looking at your final product. It is millions of people who are going to critique it, whose feedback may sound unfair because they don't know the full story. They were not with you writing all of these chapters. And so, again, I want to make sure that people hone in on the process and feel like they've gotten a lot for the time and the money that they've spent.
Yeah. And so speaking of like your clients, the client process, what kind of clients do you work with? Or what kind of clients do you really enjoy working with?
I enjoy working with clients who are intentional in showing up. And intentional in showing up doesn't mean that you need to have everything written down or everything figured out during our sessions, but people who love to ask questions. I enjoy people who always, they always go beyond just ask me for content feedback. They come up with scenarios. Oh, Vincel, what do you think if I write it this way? What do you think? How do you think it's going to be received? They genuinely care about their brand. They genuinely care about what they're writing to us as an audience, because whether I'm a writing coach or not, I'm also a potential consumer.
Right. So speaking of brands, what are some lessons that you've learned along the way when it comes to branding your business?
In terms of branding my business, I think one of the main lessons that I have learned is that you always have to, people cannot come to you if you don't give them something to react to. And so sometimes it may be, and I know that the COVID pandemic, again, like has touched our lives in such a profound way that I can't really articulate right now.
Yeah.
And at the same time, as we're still coming out of it, in a way, I would welcome for people to go beyond just using social media to market their brands. I think something as simple as going to your hair salon and then distributing your business card flyers there, making that human to human connection, I think is very important. I know that I use LinkedIn profusely. And so I think LinkedIn is another way as well.
Yeah.
And I also do 5Ks or 10K walk and runs. And that's another avenue for me to talk about my business, or at least to just bring up the idea of people working with a writing coach, and what does a writing coach do, and what do they not do. And so I would just welcome people to use the existing networks that they're in, that are not virtual, and then start that conversation on their businesses.
That's great advice. And since you mentioned it, what does a writing coach do or not do? And why should we consider hiring one?
You should highly consider hiring a writing coach if you feel like you don't have an audience that you can lean on to listen to your story. And that includes if you're going to use AI for that content. If you don't have anyone in your life who's willing to listen and to give you feedback on your writing, then hiring a writing coach makes sense.
Yeah.
So that, because again, they're going to look at it from the perspective of someone who could potentially buy your book. And there was another question that you asked. I was like so knee deep in that question. What was the first question?
Oh, that's okay. What does a writing coach do? What does a writing coach not do?
So, perfect question. So a writing coach is not a therapist. Mm-hmm. And that's something that I had to literally express in my contract. Because the writing coach is not medically trained to give you guidance. If, for example, you're writing something and then for whatever reason you're experiencing anxiety, like I would stop. And this happened to me actually with one of my clients where I had to literally stop and I had to say, you know what? Like, I'm recommending for you to take a break. Let's take a break. Let's reassess like what's going on. And then try to figure out if there's a way that they can address that in therapy and then come back to me. And so we can process what they've learned and how it's aligned with the writing piece. Just because I think that it would be irresponsible to give the impression that you can show up in that way in that person's life and then unintendedly cause more harm than good. And so, yes, writing coaches are not therapists. And I believe in most contracts with other writing coaches that I've seen, like they will usually put that disclaimer. And then in terms of what a writing coach does, I'm just giving you snippets because there's so much like I've written in that contract. A writing coach is really here to assist you to do the work, but they're not going to be doing the work for you. And so you really have to, before you hire a writing coach, you have to ask yourself, do you have the emotional capacity to take on that project? Because that project is not going to last. Sometimes they will have people say, you can write a book in 10 days. You can write a book in 25 days. And trust me, I have read some of these materials. And you can tell. For someone who has been in the game for like more than 8 years, after a while, you can tell that the person took a lot of time to give you provide you stellar work. And I'm not saying that there are people out there who can't do stellar work in 10 days, write like a 10 chapter or 20 chapter book in 10 days. But it's just because of my experience, I can tell when things are when a book is not complete. Like, you were just putting it out there just to get some clout.
Mm-hmm.
And it does make a difference. You can get the clout, but not have enough engagement because maybe people are also picking up on that as well. And so I think that it's important for clients to ask themselves if they have the emotional capacity to take this on before hiring a writing coach.
Oh, I love that you mentioned that about the people who write it or say you can write a book in 10 days or whatever, because I see that all the time and people are marketing that constantly. Write your book in 30 days, write it in 10 days. And what would be, and I'm someone who is working on a book very slowly, but what's a reasonable time frame that we should be considering as we're looking at, okay, I want to write my first book. What should we be looking ahead for?
I would say that depending on the book, like for example, if it's a historical manuscript, that might take it might take longer than a novel. Like it might take 2 or 3 years. Actually, yeah. There is this movie called Origins.
Oh, yeah.
And I believe that Ava DuVernay is the director of that movie. But she had written a book before, and she was saying that it took her like 10 years before publishing that book. And funny enough, people love that book more than the one that's based on the movie Origins that's out right now in movie theaters.
Wow.
And so it depends on the content of that book. So if it's a historical book, fiction or nonfiction, it's going to take more time. But in terms of novels and memoirs, I would say a solid year or at least 2 years, that time frame.
Yeah.
And then also, too, there's so many confounding variables that we're not taking into account. There are some people who may have more time. And so if they have more time, they might be able to finish it sooner than 2 years. And remember when I said, as you're writing, life is still happening. So
yes,
it's going to depend. I think it's a question of being realistic with what you're capable of doing and then going from there.
Excellent. And what's the best way for people to connect with you and learn more?
The best way for people to connect with me is through LinkedIn. I'm always there on Instagram by typing my name or Pathway Coach Writing. My website at www.pathwaycoachwriting.com. And then I'm on all social media handles. And so people can follow me there as well.
Excellent. I'll have all of those in the show notes to make it really simple for them. So now I want to go into my rapid fire questions. So this is, I always love this part. Favorite book?
Favorite book is Beloved by Toni Morrison.
Oh, excellent book.
Yes.
Yes. I haven't thought of that book in years, but excellent one. Favorite food?
Fettuccine Alfredo, even though you and I both know if you have traveled to Italy, they will say that fettuccine Alfredo, that cream sauce, we invented it.
Oh, no. But it's so good. It's delicious.
It's so good.
Yeah.
So, yes.
Yeah. Great one. Biggest pet peeve?
Biggest pet peeve? I guess my biggest pet peeve is when people complain, but they don't want to do something about it. That's my biggest pet peeve.
Yes, I agree. 100%. Yes.
I can tell that you can relate, but yes.
Yes, absolutely. Absolutely. You are speaking to my soul right now. who inspires you?
My mother. She passed away back in 2015, but she was a force to be reckoned with. And someone who always had my back. She loved her children, right? It's just me and my brother. And she has always been the backbone of the family. And then I would be remiss to say my father as well. He inspires me. I have an amazing relationship with my father. And he's my best friend. So they both inspire
me. Amazing. Oh, I love it. Three things you would take with you to a deserted island.
Oh, my goodness. You can't be on a deserted island. And I'm thinking of Survivor right now. I would have to bring definitely sunscreen, my favorite book. And that third thing, I don't know.
You know?
since I'm on a deserted island, I don't know if I would bring myself a little tent. So I pretty much covered my shelter situation.
Yeah.
Some sunscreen so I don't get burned. My book. I'm guessing there will be some fruits on that deserted island. So I guess I don't have to bring that with me. But
yeah, for sure. We'll see all the food is there. So that's taken care of. Yeah. I always say my Kindle because I'm like, that way I could have all the books.
Yes. But it's like, but then you can't plug battery. It, though.
That's true. That's true. Good point.
Yes.
A celebrity you would like to have dinner with, dead or alive?
I would say, and this is, I have a crush on this person, Matthew McConaughey.
Yes.
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 Uh-huh. He is so down to earth. Like all these interviews, I just feel like this is someone like I would want to have dinner with.
But agreed. Yes. Have you read his book?
I read part of his book. I haven't finished it yet. And I don't know if it's because I've never pictured Matthew McConaughey being like a writer per se. But I'm biased because I've seen many of his interviews. And so I'm more in tune with just him just talking on interviews than reading his book.
Fair enough. My advice is to listen to the audiobook because he narrates it. So you get to listen to his voice the whole time. And it's like different experience. It's lovely.
I will do that.
Highly recommend.
I will do
it. And the last one, your go-to karaoke song.
Oh my goodness. Anything by, this is so cliche, I'm aging myself. Anything by Cher.
Oh yeah.
Anything by Cher. Like I think one of my favorite songs was like, Do You Believe? Do You Believe in Love? Yeah.
Yes. Oh, that's a great one.
I'm a terrible singer.
That's okay.
Okay.
Judgment here. No. Yes. Oh, I love it. That's a fantastic song. And I think that one just came out in the 90s. So that's not aging you really at all. That's not that long ago. We're good. I want to thank you so much for coming on today. Do you have any final thoughts for our audience before we finish up?
In terms of final thoughts, I think we pretty much covered it during our session today. I would just say that this thing that we call life goes by so quickly. And so I think that as much as we talked about the art of writing and really pushing people to write their stories, take the time to savor life because you only get to be wherever you are right now, just one time.
Yeah.
It's a snapshot. And so take the time to live those snapshots, those moments, and don't take anything for granted, truly. Don't take anything or anyone for granted. In life, I don't know, based on my experience, like if people can do that, life will be so much sweeter, for sure.
I think those are great parting words. Thank you. Yes. So much for coming on today. I really appreciate this and I've really enjoyed our time together. Thank you.
Same here.
Thank you again for joining us today. If you enjoyed this episode, please leave your 5-star review and share it with a friend who you think would benefit from it so that more people get to enjoy the show. And as always, links are in the show notes. Thank you so much for joining us today. I hope you have an amazing day. Bye for now.